Welcome to Statewide. I'm Sean Crawford. Ahead this hour, we'll recap the series Enrollment Exodus. Reporters from throughout Illinois find out more about the problem of enrollment declines at many college campuses and how the schools are coping. Some of them are trying new approaches to attract and retain students. Since many of the schools are located in towns where they're among the largest employers, we'll hear about the impact it's having on local communities. And we'll also get recommendations for changing the trend.
Over 100 years ago, people understood that state investment in higher education was going to be a plus for their local economy and their local workforce. If we were really interested in future economic development in downstate Illinois, we would be investing in the future workers and business owners, which happen to be today's students.
It's a special episode of Statewide Enrollment Exodus. That's ahead this hour. Stay with us. Welcome to Statewide, reports and conversations from in and around Illinois. I'm Sean Crawford. This week we spotlight a series, Enrollment Exodus, focusing on challenges facing higher education in Illinois. The series was put together by public radio reporters across the state. We'll hear what they discovered this hour. But first, I'm joined by Jenna Dooley. She's the news director for WNIJ in DeKalb and Rockford, and she was also the project leader for this series. Jenna, I think it's good for us to take a couple of minutes to explain the series, how you went about organizing it. So let's start with the title, Enrollment Exodus.
Every fall, universities release what's known as the 10-day enrollment, and it's how many students are on campus. And what we've seen over the past decade is that many of the public higher education universities and institutions, community college, and the public and private 4 years, that number has been dropping. And there's a couple of reasons why that's happening. Population overall is going down in the state. Also, the idea that students are leaving the state for college, often because they're getting really lucrative financial aid packages. Maybe they're getting a full ride out of state and they're not getting anything at their college of choice in Illinois, so they're exiting the state.
Some schools, especially Northern, Western, and Southern Illinois universities, along with the University of Illinois Springfield, saw their enrollment dip again, and the problem seems to be most acute on those campuses. Again, is there really one thing we can point to that seems to be causing this?
One of the things that we heard in some of the reports was the budget impasse. The two-year budget impasse really had a ripple effect that communities are still feeling today, and some of that is in areas of higher education. MAP grant funding was very tenuous for a while, and as students were making the decision on where they wanted to go to college and families were making those decisions, they felt more comfortable leaving the state for some of the financial struggles it was having.
When you have a state that has a lot of money still owed, back payments and bills due, and a lot of other needs out there, higher education's not getting a windfall, even as the budget did provide a little bit of relief here recently. So this could be a problem that persists for a while.
Yeah, and the other thing is, how do you rebound when, you know, there's been studies that show the demographics aren't going to shift. In fact, up here at Northern Illinois University, they expect next year's 10-day enrollment to still be behind pace and not expecting positive growth for the next couple of years. They're trying to focus on retention. So in obviously always trying to recruit, but saying, how do we hold on to the students who did choose to stay in state?
And Jenna, when we're talking about enrollment drops in some of these campuses, we're talking about some pretty historic drops. I believe Northern, for example, that's getting down to a level of students on campus that goes back a few decades, correct?
Yeah, it's the lowest in decades. And when you look at for the campus itself, that's one thing, but it's also, you know, obviously one of the largest employers for this region. It hurts real estate. It's always funny, I think, when I talk to students, they always still complain about parking problems. I can't find parking at NIU. And I always try to say, well, like, can you imagine what it would have been like 20 years ago when it was at its all-time high number of students? When you look at the student experience, in these reports, what you'll find is that the admissions areas they're looking at providing a student experience and providing an inclusive student experience. You have student populations, but still some struggling with degree completion. We're starting to see efforts, like I mentioned, in retention, but also how do you provide resources so that students feel comfortable with financial literacy, how to navigate the campus? What if they have a question that could help them stay on campus and complete their degree, but they don't know where to ask it? And so looking at innovative ways to reach out to students and looking at things like freshman 101 classes. And that's just, I've taught one of those here at NIU, freshman navigation classes on what to do if your roommate is causing troubles, things like how to manage your money while you're on campus, because those are really serious issues. Also, I know NIU has added a food pantry. What if you're dealing with food insecurity and that's keeping you from finishing your degree? And it's looking at the entire student and the entire student's experience and how to support them as they are in and out of the classroom.
I did want to take some time here just briefly to add also that while most people listen to public radio through their local station, this is an indicator of how the system throughout Illinois works together. We cover issues at a time when the number of journalists is on the decline overall. This is an example of pooling resources and making an impact.
We have amazing reporters across Illinois in the public radio system. They know their regions. So it made sense to leverage that reporting power into a series that affects everyone in Illinois. It gives audience context on the very real challenges facing these campus communities. And we have, again, strong education reporters who can offer both the urban and rural perspectives, because really that's a big part of what makes our state so unique. And this is an effort to showcase how different areas of our large geography are affected when decisions are made at the state level and beyond.
That's Jenna Dooley. She is the news director of WNIJ in the DeKalb and Rockford areas. And also, she's been the project leader on the Enrollment Exodus series. And Jenna, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks.
First up for the series today, Rich Egger with Tri-State's Public Radio tells us the enrollment exodus is causing pain well beyond the campus of Western Illinois University in Macomb.
Welcome to Vino and Vinyl right here at Chubby's.
DJs play songs from 45s and LPs that customers bring during Vino and Vinyl Night at this bar and grill on Macomb's Courthouse Square. The monthly event is a fundraiser for local nonprofits. Vino and Vinyl Night is also a way to bring more people into this restaurant for a meal and drinks. But Chubby's has seen its customer base shrink in recent years.
We're nervous. We're scared. We don't pay ourselves just to get through, and it's frightening.
Tammy Yates owns the restaurant with Chad Hunziker. They have good reason to be frightened. Enrollment at Western Illinois University topped 11,700 when Chubby's opened 7 years ago. Now it's down to 7,600. The decline is a double whammy for Hunziker. He spent two decades in the rental business and says he has more empty homes than ever before.
You go from extending your loan payments to interest-only loans.
The businesses depend on WIU students and employees. So does the city. It has a 1 cent sales tax to pay for road repairs and other infrastructure projects. Macomb started collecting the tax 7 years ago, about the same time Chubby's opened. The first few years, the tax generated around $2 million per year. As enrollment fell, so did revenue. Mayor Mike Inman says last year the city collected $1.6
million. So yeah, I think you can pretty easily draw a parallel between those two things occurring.
The economic trials the city, Yates, and Hunziker face underscore the idea the state created the university system not just to educate students, but also to provide economic and cultural opportunities throughout Illinois. Chris Merritt says people understood this even in the late 1800s when various communities fought to get the university.
Even, you know, over 100 years ago, people understood that state investment in higher education was going to be a plus for their local economy and their local workforce.
Merritt is director of the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs, which is headquartered on Western's Macomb campus.
If we were really interested in future economic development in downstate Illinois. We would be investing in the future workers and business owners, which happen to be today's students.
Western also provides opportunities for people to engage in cultural activities, such as this community staging of the musical Oliver. Billy Clough is the interim provost at Western. He's normally the dean of the College of Fine Arts and Communication. Clough says there's no doubt public universities bring cultural opportunities that otherwise might not exist in small town Western, Eastern, and Southern Illinois.
I mean, I think that an institution to survive, public institutions have to give back. That was the reason they were created. That's the reason that we are here.
Back at Chubby's, Chad Hunziker says he's optimistic the university can eventually attract more students.
But it takes years to get that turnaround to really be significant for us. But yes, I do. I do think we're heading in the right direction.
Hunziker and partner Tammy Yates point out WIU has new leadership. An acting president runs the day-to-day operations, and there is a new board of trustees. They say they just hope their businesses can hang in there long enough to profit from the potential turnaround. Rich Ugger reporting.
Another school, Illinois State University, has largely bucked the trend to lower enrollments, maintaining a steady number between 20 and 21,000 students for more than a decade. This year, ISU had a slight increase, making it the largest freshman class in 33 years. Only Eastern Illinois University had a larger percentage enrollment increase. Southern, Western, and Northern Illinois universities were all down. And as part of our series, Charlie Schlinker talks with Jana Albrecht. She's ISU's Associate Vice President for Enrollment Management about why ISU has stayed even when others have not.
From a historical perspective, I don't know that you can necessarily pinpoint why one institution has a large year versus why another institution might not have the same year as others. Because we all do some similar things. We all have open house days. You know, we all bring students to campus. We all send our marketing materials out. And I think each year is different, you know, so each year brings different challenges and schools respond to those challenges a little bit differently. But for Illinois State University, it's this entire community. I mean, and it's really hard to put into words or to say that, you know, we think this is the one thing that happened this year. And I can go back and tell you that, you know, this year we definitely added a new customer relations management system that allowed students to apply to the university more easily. So we didn't drop students off in the whole application process where before they were applying and sometimes it was too difficult and they would just say, okay, well I'm done with that. So, you know, our applications were up about 30% this year. And part of it, I think, was definitely that particular tool.
ISU is on an Amtrak line. It's a mid-sized city as opposed to a really small town. It's on interstates. Is geography destiny?
Yes. For sure, that's one of the things that we tout and we explain to students and families, that we are a destination that's in a great community. We have a great partnership with the community, and we have access to several different ways for the student and the family to get here and to get home, and they can do it fairly quickly. So the location to Chicago, location to St. Louis is very appealing to a significant portion of our population.
What other areas of study have proven to be enrollment strengths over the years?
Nursing. We have a significant number of students that want into our nursing program, and we don't have the space. So nursing is always full. Our College of Business is very well known and very popular. We have a new program, cybersecurity, that is just booming. It's tripled enrollment in the last couple of years.
To what?
So it was really small to begin with. I think now we're up to probably almost 120 in the program now. You know, I think our university college is pretty unique in that we embrace 17 and 18-year-olds who don't really know what they want to do. You know, they don't know what they want their major to be. And so we have this university college built in.
How much of the stability in enrollment is due to that?
We have, I would say, over 1,000 students that are undeclared students that are using university college services to try and figure out what major would be best for them. And so they're getting that specialized advising.
I'm hearing nothing succeeds like success is a significant part of this stability. Is that ever going to be at risk? Everywhere in the U.S. is going to drop off the cliff in 2026, 2027 in high school graduations.
And so I think you have to be, each institution has to be concerned about that. But there's also a significant percentage of students currently that never go to college. There are populations of students that if we can get more students to stay in state, if we can get more students to either go to the community college first and then transfer to a four-year institution, you know, there are still pockets and still ways that we can absolutely be successful going into the future. But it may not be the same kind of students. So we're going to have to be prepared to offer the educational experience that all students may want moving into the future.
You mentioned community college transfers. Everyone's trying to do that. Everyone's creating alignment agreements and making sure that community college curriculums are robust enough to assure success for a transfer student. Does ISU's outcomes or ability to attract community college transfer differ from any other public?
We have this prior success with transfer students. We have been a destination point for transfer students for a very, very long time. We have a number of recruiters that have been out in the field with community college transfer advisors. And so we are well known as a place that is easy to transfer courses in and out of the institution. And so I think maybe we do have a leg up in that it is fairly easy for transfer students to determine what they need at ISU. And we have these relationships, so community college counselors can very easily say, here's what you need to take for the first 2 years of your degree, so you'll have this easy transition into Illinois State University. While it's not perfect and we can always make things better, and we do continue to work on these agreements with community college to try and make the process seamless for those incoming transfer students.
That's Charlie Schlinger talking with Jana Albrecht of Illinois State University's Office of Enrollment Management. The series Enrollment Exodus continues on this episode of Statewide. We have more on the way, including taking a look at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and why students from China play a big role on that campus. Stay with us. We're back on Statewide. I'm Sean Crawford. Coming up, enrollment at Illinois community colleges has dropped over the last half decade for nearly every racial and ethnic group. Latinx enrollment, however, is holding steady, but that doesn't always mean those students earn a degree.
And so I feel like a lot of other Latinos who might have similar aspirations might never really pursue them because they just started at a disadvantage.
That's part of our series Enrollment Exodus, which we're focusing on this week, taking a look at the problems facing colleges and universities in Illinois. One school that continues to see enrollment at record levels is the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. International students, especially those from China, play a crucial role in funding Illinois' flagship university. Our reporter Dusty Rhodes looks at how current immigration policies and the murder of a Chinese scholar have affected enrollment at the campus.
When I say UIUC depends on international students, you don't have to take my word for it. The school's business and engineering colleges spelled out that reliance a couple of years ago when administrators took out an insurance policy to protect against revenue loss if Chinese enrollment drops significantly. Jeffrey Brown, dean of the business school, says Chinese students bring two types of value. First, they bring the perspective of a global economic power, and second, they bring money.
We have, in my college alone, approximately 500 master's degree students from China, and many of them are paying $40,000 to $50,000 a year. So you can do the math and you see that it's not a trivial amount of money.
This fall, UIUC has 10,800 international students. That's a few dozen more than last year, but shy of fall 2017's record, which topped 11,000. For the past decade, the majority of these students have come from China.
When I've traveled to China and we've spoken about Illinois, it almost becomes one word, UIUC.
That's Martin McFarland, Director of the Office of International Student and Scholar Services at the U of I.
UIUC is known across the world as being a very good institution for international education.
In 2017, the Institute of International Education ranked UIUC second among American public universities in its number of international students. I asked Karen Liu, a journalism student who was born in California but grew up in China, what kind of reputation the U of I has there.
First and foremost, it's known as a very good engineering school. It's also known as the Cornfield School in China.
Coming from Shanghai, a city the size of Chicago plus New York multiplied by two, a cornfield sounded good.
Growing up in a city, I kind of want a change of pace, and I also want to give myself an environment in which I can focus on studying.
Zahan Wang, another journalism student, says Illinois reminds him of his home in northeastern China in a province known for agriculture.
Whenever I go to the Chicago, take the Amtrak, the wheel outside the window is just like the same. The corns in my hometown, that would be rice. But you can see, like, in some way, we can see it's just the same.
Both students say they have to field questions from friends and family in China about new immigration and trade policies enacted by the Trump administration. Wang, a staff writer for the Daily Illini, published an article about some international students having to wait months for routine visa approvals. And as journalists, both students covered aspects of the Yingying Zhan case, the Chinese visiting scholar who was kidnapped from UIUC and murdered in 2017. Liu interviewed Zhang's family for the campus paper. Wang covered the trial and conviction of Brent Christensen for a Chinese news outlet. But to Wang, that horrific crime cast no shadow on UIUC.
I will say, although I'm pretty angry about this thing, but I will say it's just like one devil man.
McFarland says he got the same reaction from families in China.
So our office hosts in-country orientation, and we were fully expecting to hear parents ask about that, and we were ready. But the general understanding was this was a one-off incident that was attributable to just one person.
So even though enrollment held steady, Brown, the dean of the business college, says he's still glad they got that insurance policy.
Look, there's no crisis here. The insurance runs out next summer. We haven't needed it. We're pleased, though, because you don't want a bad thing to happen just because you insured it.
They're now in the process of renewing the policy for another 3 years. I'm Dusty Rhodes.
Four-year degree is not the only option for students when they finish high school. Jennifer Fuller reports that many choose community college in an effort to join the workforce sooner and save on tuition costs.
Community colleges funnel a lot of students into four-year institutions, so-called articulation agreements like the ones John A. Logan Community College has with Southern Illinois University, let students feel secure that their credits will transfer and count towards a degree. Other students, though, see Illinois' community colleges as a place to specialize in a field and get a kickstart on joining the workforce. Maura Farrell is a nursing student at John A. Logan.
Thinking now as an adult, this saves a lot of money, and it's better to be closer to family and have their support while you're going through it.
Farrell is a native of Herrin. She started at a four-year school in Kentucky as a pre-med major, but came back to Carterville and community college.
Coming to John A. is just a great affordable option where you might not have to take out a loan as you would at a four-year university and have that looming over your head. As you go on and work, you're kind of just paying off what you already have. So I think that Illinois is actually more affordable.
Programs like nursing, welding, and others see consistent enrollment numbers and in many cases continued to grow even in difficult financial times. Marilyn Fallister is the director of Logan's nursing program. She says students have varied reasons for choosing the profession.
Some students need to become employable right away for whatever reason. They've incurred expense unexpectedly in high school. And sometimes things happen at home that require that they become independent more quickly.
Logan's program allows students to attend full-time, part-time, or a hybrid online program. Fallister says that lets them work and take care of family or other obligations. Daniel O'Donnell calls his educational path convoluted. The Carterville native took time off after high school and went to work. He got his associate's degree from John A. Logan College and then tried a four-year university, but he says the cost made it impossible for him to finish there.
I transferred my associate's degree from here to a four-year university, and I thought everything was going to be just, you know, hunky-dory, and it turned out that you can't really sustain $6,000 to $8,000, you know, at that clip for just a few classes.
O'Donnell says he hears from friends and others that he's not alone in his financial struggle.
Finances are limited. We're struggling to get by, and we're just trying to better ourselves. And it becomes a very difficult task whenever you're looking at some of the tuition rates at these four-year universities.
Many community colleges in Illinois hear students express that pain as well. One way they're addressing it is to create dual credit opportunities for high school students to earn community college credit a little early, further reducing those community college costs. Another tactic community colleges across the state are taking is to form agreements with businesses for workforce development initiatives. Those track high school students into certain tracks of study at community colleges and then out into targeted jobs. Nursing professor Heather Hampson says she loves watching her students grow into healthcare professionals. She says the career allows people from all walks of life to help others.
The thing about nursing is that it's a really beautiful blend of science and art, and so it speaks to almost everybody.
O'Donnell says that's what made him come back, along with those financial benefits.
I haven't taken out a loan for nursing school. I've been able to pay it out of pocket.
Even with the low price points compared to out-of-state institutions, workforce development partnerships with businesses, and links down to high schools and over to four-year institutions, it's not easy for community colleges. The Illinois Community College Board reports system-wide enrollment has dropped 21% in the last decade. I'm Jennifer Fuller.
Meanwhile, enrollment is down at Illinois community colleges over the last half decade for nearly all racial and ethnic groups. Latinx enrollment continues to hold steady, but not all those students earn a degree. Lee Gaines reports.
I'm at a meeting of Club Latino. That's a student group at Parkland College in East Central Illinois. About a dozen students eat pizza in the campus union. It's their first meeting of the semester, and they're holding elections.
A couple of semesters. And so I know in the past they've done things like playing, the bubble wrap soccer. I don't know if you guys did that.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, so I would like to organize.
That's Francisco Gamino. He's a 22-year-old student at this community college, and he's just been named Club Latino president. This group is important for him and for the other students involved. Latinx students now make up a larger proportion of the student body at Illinois community colleges compared to 5 years ago. But they're less likely to complete an associate's degree than white students. Gamino's parents are immigrants, and he didn't grow up with a lot of money.
So I came to Parkland because, to be frank with you, I didn't have the means to go anywhere else.
His parents didn't go to college, so Gamino couldn't turn to them for advice on how to navigate the system.
I know one of my biggest challenges here at Parkland was figuring out how to pay all of my bills, figure out how to pay for tuition, and still have the time that I need to study.
A new report from the national nonprofit, the Education Trust, finds that Latinx students are underrepresented among associate degree earners in a majority of states, including Illinois.
They're very, very vulnerable. Any type of financial struggles will knock them off of their pathway.
That's Will Del Pilar. He's with the Education Trust in Washington, D.C. He says many Latinx students are like Gamino.
And instead of being a college graduate, they're all of a sudden, a non-completer, a student with some college, no degree.
Finances aren't the only challenge. Moises Orozco Villacana says the community college students he surveyed faced additional obstacles.
They had to deal with racial microaggressions. They had to deal with classmates that didn't think that they would be able to persist and be successful. They had to deal with the stereotypes associated with Latinx.
Orozco Villacana directs enrollment management at the University of Illinois School of Information Sciences, and he studied Latinx enrollment at community colleges for his dissertation. He found that mentorship and support groups, like Club Latino, can improve retention rates among Latinx students at community colleges.
This club really keeps me grounded, I think.
That's Diane Barrios-Smith. She's a Parkland student and a member of Club Latino.
It makes me feel a sense of community because I see other people who look like me and my family. And that's just really comforting to know that I have people who understand my childhood more.
Gamino says his involvement in the group has motivated him to succeed. He says he doesn't feel so isolated anymore.
It's helped me now want to pursue a career in computer science. And so I feel like a lot of other Latinos who might have similar aspirations might never really pursue them because they just started at a disadvantage.
Gamino plans to transfer to the U of I next year to get his bachelor's degree in computer science. He says mentorship and his experience at Club Latino helped him get this far, but he feels like he's an exception. Gamino says to help more Latinx students succeed, they need financial resources. Mentorship and support is just one piece of the puzzle. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
You're listening to Statewide. What happens when universities see enrollment plunge year after year? Well, for many of the schools, they focus on how to hold on to the students already walking their halls. From DeKalb, Peter Medlin has more.
Students often leave between their first and second year. That was the case for Chloe Watson. She was sitting in her dorm room near the end of her first year at Northern Illinois University when it hit her. She had to find roommates for the next year, but couldn't think of anyone she could live with. She never really found her place at the school, and truthfully, NIU wasn't her first choice to begin with.
I do think it's a good school, and I have friends that still go there and they love it. I just don't think it was a good fit for me.
Now she goes to the University of Illinois at Chicago. But schools like NIU are not as worried about losing students to other states or even other schools in Illinois. Lisa Castillo-Richmond is the managing director of the Partnership for College Completion.
There used to be this sort of increasing fountain of enrollment. There was always more students coming through the pipeline. And because of those riches of the volume of students coming through the door, I think we were less focused on retention.
They're a nonprofit that works with colleges in Northern Illinois to help them increase retention rates and close equity gaps.
When they take a look at their data, the biggest competitor that they have in many cases of students that are admitted to their institution and choose not to attend is nowhere.
In 2017, 72% of NIU freshmen came back the following fall. That's around the state average.
Our state is one of the, you know, worst offenders in terms of the size of the degree completion gap between our African-American students and our white students.
At Western Illinois University, for example, white students return close to 80% of the time, while half of African-American students don't come back for their second year. There are some Illinois universities with sky-high retention rates. For example, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is over 90%. According to the Partnership for College Completion, that could be linked in part to funding and resources.
A lot of times, the institutions that are least well-resourced in this state are the ones that are serving representative populations.
NIU prides itself on being accessible to underserved populations. A majority of students are first generation, more than 40% are students of color. But with retention, universities can't settle for access.
Access without opportunity is problematic.
That's Renique Kirsch. She's the Associate Vice Provost for Student Engagement and Success. It's part of her job to find the institutional stumbling blocks causing students to leave. It can be struggling with coursework, trying to figure out financial aid, or any number of issues. At Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, they sort through the same things. Racial gaps remain, but retention rates are slowly on the rise. African American student retention is up to 59% from their low point of 45% only several years ago. Vernice Edgehill-Walton is NIU's Chief Diversity Officer.
If the majority of our students are first gen, then it requires that we really look at how we can provide information about financial literacy and knowledge around navigating campus and navigating college beyond orientation.
For both NIU and SIU, that's meant changing how students are advised.
In some cases, our advisor to student ratio was just too high.
Renique Kirsch says whittling the ratio down to one advisor for every 300 students lets them interact more and intervene if a student is struggling. And to meet the needs of their different students, they have to get creative. Southern Illinois University now uses predictive analytics to identify students who may be struggling. And NIU has an AI chatbot on its website dishing out financial aid information. Even with a state budget increase for higher education this year, advocates say it's going to take a sustained effort on the part of each institution to make sure the students who come in, stay in, and when they do leave, it's with a degree. I'm Peter Medlin.
Stay with us for more of Statewide, and coming up, more of the series Enrollment Exodus. We turn our attention to private colleges and universities next. You're listening to Statewide. This week, we're spotlighting the public radio series Enrollment Exodus. Stations throughout Illinois are reporting on the number of students leaving Illinois for college, what that means for the schools here, and what's being done to stem the tide. Just ahead, we'll hear about Western Illinois University, which saw a 10% decline in enrollment this fall, compounding a problem that's been happening for years. What the school is saying about it, that's coming up on Statewide. But next, Illinois colleges and universities have been under pressure for years from smaller graduating classes, out-of-state competition, and changing demographics. Private higher education institutions in the state face the same challenges the public schools do, and a couple of extra. In this part of our series, Charlie Schlinker reports how private colleges and universities in central Illinois are coping.
Private colleges and universities are competing for pieces of a smaller pie. The number of high school graduates in the state has fallen for years. Justin Ball is the vice president for enrollment management at Bradley University in Peoria. He says it's going to get worse.
And then in 2026, you see it literally just fall off a cliff. I mean, we'll lose 8-9% of our entire high school graduating population over the course of 1 year.
Ball says the Great Recession had a big impact on family size, and there's no rebound past 2033. Private colleges also have more challenges. The high sticker price on a selective private institution can scare off the rising number of first-generation and low-income kids.
Absolutely, there's a possibility the sticker price keeps families from engaging in the process.
Greg King is the dean of admission for Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington.
All schools, we're going to have to communicate differently. We're going to have to get out in front of that cost conversation, or we're going to see applications dry up.
Bradley, Eureka, and Illinois Wesleyan are private schools with a historic emphasis on the liberal arts, a generation into a national conversation about a lack of graduates in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. King says it's a tougher story to tell.
More and more students are really just learning about the liberal arts in their conversations with us.
Some schools are deciding they cannot be all things anymore. They're keeping programs in two or three strengths and ditching the rest. Justin Ball at Bradley University does not think that's wise.
When we have a young man or woman who comes here to be a mechanical or an electrical engineer, we know that there is a really high probability they'll end up being a part of our music programs.
Over at Illinois Wesleyan University, Greg King says schools who cut that deeply will know by 2030 or 2035 whether the gamble paid off. This is not to say any institution is standing pat. They are doing strategic assessments of efficiency, quality, and enrollment across areas of study. Since they've known for a decade the enrollment crunch was coming, you might think they would have done this earlier. Justin Ball admits most didn't get on it.
Colleges and universities, no one would ever say, we're really nimble.
Private schools are tweaking how and where they recruit, too. When the number of first-generation students started trending upward a decade ago, Eureka College jumped on board with special mentoring and assistance programs. College President Jamel Wright says the school is now more than half first-gen, a higher proportion than most.
And because of that, now the first-generation program is a four-year program, so students have an opportunity to participate in first-generation programming for the entirety of their time at Eureka College.
Bradley University finds students from rural areas tend to have good outcomes in its engineering program. Justin Ball says Bradley works the small town angle.
It does take more time and energy, and so it takes more boots on the ground.
Schools look for community ties to shape recruitment too. Bradley works cities with a strong presence of workers for Komatsu and Caterpillar, native to Peoria. Illinois Wesleyan University recruits in Sunbelt cities that have State Farm insurance hubs. Ronald Reagan alma mater Eureka College finds Reagan organizations in California and Washington, D.C. important. But Illinois Wesleyan admissions dean Greg King says most students come from Illinois.
We have to take care of our backyard. I mean, 80-90% of enrollment It's coming to you from within 2 hours.
Illinois Wesleyan has even offered a separate scholarship to entice high school graduates from McLean County. With at least 14 more years of declines in the number of high school graduates, admissions officers nationwide acknowledge some schools won't make it. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
The head of Western Illinois University says it might take a couple of years to turn around student enrollment numbers, which have declined for more than a decade, but he believes the job can be done, as Rich Egger reports.
This fall's enrollment is down around 10% compared to last fall. It stands at around 7,600 students. Acting President Martin Abraham projects total enrollment will be down again next fall. He says that's a built-in decline because of years of decreasing enrollment. Abraham says the objective for Western is to increase enrollment starting in the fall of 2021. He says the university needs to be bigger, but he does not have a specific target yet.
And as we start to look at the demand and look at the opportunities, we'll start to set some projections for how large we can get, if we can hit, you know, specific targets, and how long it'll take us to get there.
So what is the plan to turn things around?
A lot more attention to details, a lot better communication. We have a strategy of increasing our communications with prospective students. We are reaching out to more high schools. We're doing more college fairs. We have recruiters on the road spending a lot of time reaching out to prospective students, reaching out to their parents. We are involving faculty in the work that we're doing to help bring the recruiting and land the students. We have current students who will be involved, again, speaking to the experiences that the students can expect. We have alumni who are going to be engaged, speaking about the quality of the education they received, the quality of the experiences they had when they were here. And so a lot of that will be occurring, as well as a lot of communication, more timely communication with students, with prospective students, getting back to them when they've sent an application in or when they've inquired about something and speaking about the opportunities and being responsive and reaching out to them to let them know about the events that are upcoming or the opportunities that are upcoming and growing those activities. And it's not just new freshmen. It's the same type of message with graduate students. It's the same type of message with international students. It's the same type of message with transfer students.
What is the message? What are you telling students or prospective students? What sets Western apart?
Well, Western provides a quality academic experience. It gives students the opportunity to succeed. Students who are first-generation college students who maybe don't have the experiences that they might need in order to be successful at a flagship university where you're one of 30,000, where here you're one of 7,500, 7,600. And we have a lot of faculty who will reach out and provide you that individualized attention to help you through those experiences. We have a residence hall program that is designed to help you acclimate well to the college experience, to get you involved, to be engaged with other students, engaged with friends, to build a network so that you can be successful. These are the things that you get from Western. You get a safe environment in a small town, which is a nice experience. You get away from the big city if that's what you're trying to do, or if you like the small town and because you're from that area, you get to continue those experiences.
When the administration released this fall's enrollment numbers, it issued a news release. You're quoted as saying, "Our goal is to graduate our students, preferably in 4 years, and without debt." How do you help them graduate without debt?
Well, we're revisiting our scholarship programs and putting new programs in place to ensure that those students who are qualified or eligible will receive the scholarships that they can offer. We're looking at costs of education, how much do they pay even for things like books. We're looking for what our fee structure looks like, and are there fees that we're charging to our students that we shouldn't be charging to our students? Are there other places that they're not getting the opportunities that they should be getting? I'm interested in creating more work experiences for our students here on campus, giving them opportunities to work so they can earn some money while they're here, gaining the experience that they have in those areas that they can gain, earning a little bit of money, connecting with the university. The data shows that students who work on campus are going to be more successful. They're going to graduate at higher rates, so we'd love to be able to get them the opportunity to work on campus. We need to make sure our programs are properly streamlined so students can graduate in 4 years. There's a whole raft of things that we can do. A lot of it is messaging to the students to focus on their enrollments, focus on their education, enroll for a full load of courses, succeed in those courses, stay on track, talk to your advisors, spend a lot of time talking to advisors and make sure the courses are going to meet the requirements, meet our general education rules, meet your graduation requirements. Make sure that you're doing the right things so that when you get to your senior year, you take the courses you need and you graduate. And a lot of that will go a long way to helping our students not accumulate debt.
Dr. Martin Abraham is the acting president of Western Illinois University. Abraham says Western will also look for ways to make sure it retains students. He says this fall's retention numbers are better than in the past, though they're still not high enough. Abraham says the university needs to be more engaged in doing things that help students stay at Western and complete their degree. Rich Ugger reporting.
And finally this week, a bit of good news. While Illinois public universities have seen enrollment decline, in some cases drastically, over the past few years, a school in Chicago is not struggling to fill the classrooms. The University of Illinois at Chicago is seeing record increases. Kate McGee explores the growth there as part of our series, Enrollment Exodus.
It's move-in day. These lucky freshmen are loading belongings into the brand new state-of-the-art UIC dorm on Chicago's Near West Side. It has sweeping views of the city, sparkling clean bathrooms, and brand new furniture. Chancellor Michael Amoretis has shown up to help students unpack into their new home, including Isabel Campbell from Aurora.
Hi, I'm Michael Amoretis. I'm the Chancellor of the University.
Campbell is the first in her family to go to college, and she chose UIC for its location.
Well, it's close to home, and I didn't want to be that far from my family. And I know it's a really good school, and it's in the city.
Applications are up over the last 5 years, and the school is accepting more students. Nearly 80% of last year's applicants got an acceptance letter. This year's total enrollment topped 33,000 students for the first time. Emerita says UIC's appeal is becoming clearer to students.
And what they see at UIC is value, quality, and location. And it's very difficult to beat this combination. Value in terms of our price tag, quality in terms of what we are offering, our recognition nationally, the rankings, and then location, 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 right? Chicago is our campus, and they really appreciate this, and they want to live here.
The location around UIC has changed a lot over the past 2 decades. Gentrification paved the way for new apartment buildings and retail. And UIC has taken advantage, pushing from a traditional commuter school to one with residential housing and a broader student experience. The changing area has also made the school more attractive to suburban students who want to attend school in the city. And UIC has remained relatively affordable compared to other private universities and colleges in Chicago. In-state tuition is around $13,000. Plus, Amarita says they're actively recruiting more. At move-in day, freshman Ariana Given says she came to UIC to meet people who didn't look like her, even though she's from Chicago.
In high school, grammar school, I always was like around predominantly black African-American kids, so I came here for like diversity.
About a third of UIC's population is Hispanic, 18% Asian, 8% African-American, and 12% international students. As the number of diverse undergraduates increases nationally, including low-income and first-generation students, many universities realize they need to do a better job helping those students succeed. Amarita says UIC has always served those students.
Diversity and inclusion are expensive. You need to have the right structures.
He especially credits multiple cultural centers on campus, including ones for African-American, Latino, and Arab students. There are also centers for women and a disability cultural center.
This gives them the space where they need, they are comfortable, that they can go there and spend some time, and they belong.
Unlike at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, where incoming students have increasingly higher standardized test scores and GPAs, students at UIC are coming in at the same academic level they were 7 years ago. It's a sign UIC is trying to stay true to its original mission, being accessible to all. But Amarita says the school can't grow forever. They've already capped enrollment in the popular computer science department. Amarita says the school needs to strike a balance.
The term selective, if it means that we are not accessible anymore to the students of Chicago, that's a problem for a school with this mission.
For now, he and others are celebrating the prosperity. I'm Kate McGee in Chicago.
That story and all the others in this week's program, part of a series titled Enrollment Exodus. And you can find links to that reporting at statewideshow.com. Thanks to all the reporters for their efforts in highlighting the issues facing higher education in Illinois. Our website is where you can hear this episode and past shows. You can also get our statewide podcast through the NPR One app. I'm Sean Crawford. Statewide is a production of NPR Illinois with help from other Illinois Public Radio stations.